Bronx News.
For American Family News, I'm Rusty Keith.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening live, come on over to the chat room, and if you come over to the chat room without a pin, the pin number is 1517. I chose that year because that was the year that Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis, sparking the Reformation. So 1517 is the pin to get into the chat room. And it's also written on the chat page if you look for it. But some people don't seem to be able to find it. But anyway, come on over, join the conversation. And comments, questions, it's all good in the chat room there. We also have a phone number if someone wants to call in. I'm not going to be taking calls at the end of the hour or probably during the second hour, which brings us to our itinerary for the day. Let's see, what did I put down here for that? Let me look at it. Oops. Yeah, here it is, live this morning. Oh, yes, news and current events. For the first half hour or so. And I was going to talk about an article that I did publish last week. While I didn't go live last week, I did publish an article on something that a lot of people have questions about. And I hope that I've settled the question there. So I try to do is settle things. I find that the scripture usually has the answer for just about everything in it. I'm pretty sure it does. The difficulty is sometimes finding or seeing the answer in the scripture. And that's what I'm looking for, a scriptural answer to all these questions and all of these ideas that are buzzing around the Bible and prophecy. So we'll talk about that. And in the second hour, I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. And I just started into it last week. But I am working on a book, and basically it's an exposition of the beast powers and related symbols from Daniel and the Revelation. And it's really coming along well. I'm really excited about what is being revealed to me through the scripture as I dive into that topic and what I'm able to uncover there. So anyway, I'll be sharing that with you as I go through this and write this book, because it helps me, you know, to share it with you on the air, get comments, questions from listeners and others who want to who engage the show or whatever and challenge me. So I like challenges. It helps to refine the work. But that's my idea, is that I want to find whatever interpretation I get directly from the scripture and from history itself. If I can match history up with the scripture and then can't exclude that by the scripture, because that's pretty much the test of prophecy, is can I exclude it by the scripture? And there's a lot of things that can be excluded by the scripture that are accepted today as true. But and those people blind themselves and use just hypothesis and conjecture to uphold those ideas that are still out there, kind of like the one we'll be talking about here in a few minutes, the 2300 days prophecy. Anyway, it's good to see a few people found their way into the chat room. There's a lot less people coming into the chat room if you have to put a pin in. But if you're listening, that pin is in the header of the chat room. You'll see it there if you look for it, because it says enter code 1517. The pin is in red. So I was hoping it would get people's attention. And why do we have it in red? To keep people from other chat rooms from coming over to this chat room without coming from our page, because we've had some, perverse persons who migrated to our chat room a couple weeks ago because we didn't have it locked or shielded, so decided that's the way to go. Yeah, that is it. Okay. What a day, what a week, what a month, what a year it's been. And we're broadcasting today on five different video platforms. I think I get more listeners now on Odyssey than anywhere else. But we're on YouTube, Trovo, DLive, Odyssey, and Facebook. That's five. Whatever it is, it's five. So hopefully that'll help to bring a few more people to the live broadcast. And on the same channels, I broadcast First Amendment Radio 24/7. So 24 days, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, except for YouTube. Because YouTube, they don't like stuff that we say during the day on a lot of the broadcasts, including mine. So you can't use the V word in such a way that they don't like it. Basically, they've done away with free speech. Let's see. I have you in the chat. Put your name where it says you there in the chat room. Question about what year is it? Is there a scriptural reference about the seventh millennium being the thousand-year reign of the Messiah? No, there's nothing explicit. That's the closest we can get is, and it doesn't say, I think the closest we have to the millennium, to upholding the millennium explicitly, would be 2 Peter 3. But as far as the scripture saying there are only seven millennium and the Messiah will appear for the last one, we have nothing explicit like that. It's a belief that I hold. It's a belief that many have held going back to antiquity, even before the first advent of Christ. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Jews, they held the same doctrine. And so there's a little faith going on there. I have a lot, you know. Like I said, I don't. It's not a thus saith the Lord. There's nothing explicit on it. But that's a good question. And I would never try to deceive anybody that the Bible explicitly says that anywhere, because it doesn't. I'm just going from the preponderance of evidence over the whole scripture, and that must be Guy who asked that question in the chat room, who appeared as you first, I guess. I don't know. But that's that. So you can accept it or not. I accept it. If I'm wrong, I think it's highly unlikely that it's wrong. And it was accepted by many of the church fathers and definitely by the Jewish nation. They held to that. Although there was a lot of confusion leading up to exactly how long they had even been on earth. Some of them thought about somewhere in the first millennium after Christ, they thought they were coming to the end of the sixth millennium. So, but we know that's why I have my "What Year Is It?" study there, that I tried to get as close as I could without saying the exact day or even the exact year. I'm going to say about that time. So anyway, any more questions on that? I believe it's our Sabbath day. Yeah, Gigi says in the chat room. And so it's widely accepted. I accept it. I believe it. And we'll see. It won't be long now. Yeah. So anyway, let's look at a few news items. Though I hate looking at the news, because you know what the news is all about. It's all about the V, and it's about the what started last in the year 2020 as the great flu panic that started with 2 weeks to flatten the curve and then warp speed, brought to you by Donald Trump, and of course followed up and reinforced by the president. Pretender in chief. See, I think these are free speech things that I'm saying that, you know, Google might not like so much. I don't know how far they'll go, but they've zapped me before and given me strikes, and that's why we're not doing 24/7 on YouTube anymore, because someone always, I guess, complains. Or there may be people complaining just because we're there or live or putting out new videos. But anyway, let's add a few news items here. Let me check it out here in my mailbox. Oh, yes, Danny Boy, who commented on one of my pages, not having to do with the question he commented on, but he says, "I have another question. Do you have a YouTube teaching on the way it's supposed to go down before Christ's return?" And I think all my YouTube videos are a commentary on that, because just look around you. This is the way that it's supposed to go down before Christ returns. And I've mentioned before that we have, several major events before Christ returns. I think the most major event, well, it's a couple, I mean, we'll just name one, is the Mark of the Beast Inquisitions are going to begin. And I say 2030 is the date they've set, because they hope by then to do away with all national currencies, the Antichrist and his shadow government, that is. Hope to do away with all currencies and require everyone to participate in their new monetary system. And we'll just call it the Mark of the Beast monetary system. So we'll see Mark of the Beast Inquisitions going down, people being killed for that in different parts of the world. How it's going to get in America, I don't know. And this study I'm doing now is helping me out with that a little bit to get a better idea of what's going to happen here. So then we have, there's going to be a point where the ten-horned beast is going to turn on the whore, you know, the one that, also called the little horn that speaks blasphemy. Of course, this being the man of sin and his antichrist church or great apostasy. So the ten nation confederation over there, or the ten divisions of Western Europe, are going to turn on the whore at some time. At some time, their eyes are going to be open as to how the Antichrist and his shadow government are gaming them. This has happened in history, but not to the extent of being burned with fire and raised to the ground, is pretty much what is expressed in the revelation that is going to happen. They got a taste of it before, because, you know, the judgment fell on even those that had the mark of the beast and even on the seed of the beast. So we're going back. When we read that part of the revelation, we're going back to about the French Revolution, when the man of sin and the anti-Christian great apostasy received that deadly wound, as it were, to death, but it wasn't dead yet. Yeah, that death will be coming. in the future. So that's one thing we have to, that's two things we have to look for. Mark of the Beast Inquisitions, not fun. Nobody's looking forward to that, but it is forward. It is happening in the future, and you can see it developing unless you're blind. And then, of course, then the destruction of Mystery Babylon, the seat of, the little horn power, as depicted as riding the beast, and with such cryptic terms as was and is not yet is, depicting the position or the phase of the beast power, controlled by, as it is controlled by the Antichrist during the era we're in and leading up to its destruction, and of course the return of Christ and the battle of Armageddon. All of those things we have to look forward to in the next approximately 35 years as I mark the calendar from what year is it from creation until Christ returns, being 5,999 years to complete, plus one, to complete six millennia, and then the beginning of the seventh millennia. So if you go to my website there at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and you'll find it, the what year is it? If you're at my homepage, you'll find it at the top right-hand corner, a link to it. And it's usually trending because I have a list of trending articles in the left-hand column. So that's where to look if you're looking for something. And the 2300 days prophecy, which is what we're going to talk about today. Let's see. Do we have any more news items? Yeah, we got 10 minutes. We'll pick up on the 2300 days after we come back from the break and try to squish it into a half hour. So that way I can publish it separately. Okay, let's see. Oh yes, news. And Lou Rockwell always has some good headlines. CV-19, a psychological military operation, part one. You might want to check out that article there. Is that what it is? And a lot of people believe so. I tend to think that, yes, it's a psychological operation because there is no PANDEMIC, and there hasn't been, because if there was truly, say, a Black Death plague type PANDEMIC, then, you know, hundreds of millions of people would have died in excess of the regular hundreds of millions of people who die every year. Because, you know, people are born every day. I mean, when you think about it, there are 7 to 8 billion people on the planet, I perceive, somewhere in there. And there's only 365 days in a year. And so you got how many people being born every day? And how many people dying every day. So there should be as many dying as being born, but those are regular deaths. We're all going to die. You know, we all are born with that death sentence. You shall surely die. I read that in the beginning of the book. I hope you read it too and understood it. It means that you were born with a death sentence. You shall surely die. I shall surely die. We all shall surely die. That's why it's so important, you know, to have a relationship with our Creator in a right standing, that we stand before Him, justified by the blood of His Son, because that is the only way. Otherwise, you got to pay the price for your own sins, and I discourage that route, highly discourage it. Because death is the price, and you will not be able to escape. Jesus escaped because he had no sin. Death couldn't hold him. And that's why he says that he will cover us with his blood if we have faith in him. So, you know, that's the gospel in a nutshell. Very important. Okay, so we have COVID totalitarianism going on. We've got a lot of stuff going on here. You notice some things are missing from the shelves that I usually purchase. They're just not there anymore. Or they'll show up 1 week and they won't be there the next week. So we got a logistics problem, at least, if not more, with the great error, you know, with the great warp speed error of Donald Trump. Donald Trump started this whole thing. He should have kept his word. 2 weeks to flatten the curve, that would have caused a little disruption. Nothing we couldn't overcome quickly. But he did not keep his word. Yeah, that's what can we say? And I hope that for the United States of America, that somehow a better option shows up if there are any free elections, which I highly doubt we will ever see again. Really, the only hope for the world, for America, is Jesus when he returns, because he's going to straighten all this mess out. Yeah, and we know communism works so well. That's why we should do it here, too, right? Yeah. Top U.S. government and CDC fails. COVID-19 fails since the scan. If I'm saying certain words, they'll pull me, they'll knock me off of YouTube. So, but we all know what it's all about. Nobody's going to learn anything new from me in this broadcast. Listen to David Knight in the afternoon. He'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on the subject. Let's see. I did have some. Oh, I had some Babylon Bee to share with you here. Let me see if I can fix this up so you can see these. I got to figure out how to do this first. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Southwest Airlines offering free flights to all passengers who are vaccinated and can fly a plane. I like that one. And you all know what's going on with Southwest Airlines if you've been listening to any news at all. But Babylon Bee usually has some interesting things to say in a way that gives you a little chuckle. We don't have to take everything too seriously. And, you know, thank God for our life in Jesus Christ, that we are regenerated by his Holy Spirit, that we don't have to fear what is to come. Because the worst thing they can do is torture us before they kill us. Yeah. And a lot of people have endured a lot of horrendous torture in history. You know, if you've listened to this broadcast, as we've gone through history, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know that's true. But, and you also know that God will be with us if we have to go through something like that in that future that we're talking about over the next 35 or so years before Christ returns. Yes, they are interesting times, at least we can say that much. Let's see what else they got here. Terrifying new Halloween mask depicts a human face not wearing a mask. Some of these are kind of corny. Yeah. And I don't celebrate Halloween myself. I would celebrate, Reformation Day. That's what I would celebrate, is Reformation Day. Because I believe it was that day in 1517, 505 years ago now, that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door. I like this one here. Now, doesn't that look good? Yeah, this toxic protein is commonly found in kitchens across America. Of course, we're looking at some fine cuts of beef here. And they want to replace the toxic protein going in your mouth and nourishing your body. They want to replace it with a spike protein. Yeah. Some kind of free radical, free destructive radical. Well, that's enough of current events. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the 2300 years and your comments and questions in the chat room. You're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I will return after these messages.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And in this segment, we're going to discuss my article from last week, the 2300 Days Prophecy. 2300 Days Prophecy. Now, I found a chart here, typical of what is believed by Seventh-day Adventists, pushed this more than anyone else. A lot of historicists, so-called, have adopted it, but that doesn't mean that it's true. So let's take a look at it. And I write, this chart, while incorporating much truth, is designed to make you believe false doctrine by accepting a grand speculation. And of course, the grand speculation is that the 2300 evenings and mornings, clue there, the 2300 evenings and mornings are actually 2300 years. Okay? The typical recipe requires 9 parts truth and conjecture with an added dash of speculation and a teaspoon of false doctrine. Then you serve a dish of investigative judgment pie or dispensational gap casserole. Yummy. The foundation of the historicist method of interpreting Bible prophecy is history. We verify our interpretation when we find the prophecy fulfilled in history. When this happens, we know that we have an interpretation that cannot be excluded as the possible fulfillment. If another expositor comes up with an interpretation, for instance, in this case, of the 2300 days being years, and the fulfillment happens in heaven, where no one can verify it, such proposition at best can only be a speculation or utter folly, but it cannot be historicist. See, because if you can't verify a prophecy, because it happens in heaven, I don't know why, yeah, but anyway, if you can't verify it because it happens in heaven, then it can only always ever be speculation. And that kind of goes against all of the other prophecy that we have given that has actually been fulfilled here on earth and that we can verify after it happens, of course. So we go to Daniel 8:13 for our scripture verse. And then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, unto 2300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So here we have in context an interruption. The angel that's speaking, okay, is giving Daniel the prophecy, and this is chapter 8 of the several beasts depicted as a ram and a he-goat. I believe that's where we're at in Daniel. And then he mentions something in verses 12, I believe. He says something about the future, the temple being desolated, or an abomination that maketh desolate, or something like that. But he brings up a future temple desolation. And this is where the other personage, whoever that is, some say it's Christ, they're interrupting or waiting for a pause from the angel that is presently speaking to interject the question. Okay, so that's what's going on there. So here we have in the context an interruption, another angel or heavenly personage, who we will not hear debate, interposes another question at a pause of the former subject, perhaps understanding the question to which Daniel was most desirous to discover. I mean, if we go there, and maybe we should just go there, and I already have it opened, Daniel. And here it is here. Okay. Okay. And the angel that's speaking to Daniel says, yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. I consider that to be Jesus. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast out. We know that all that happened in the first century. Okay? And a host was given to him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, the transgression of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in the next chapter. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Okay, and this is where he interrupts. He waits for him to get to his word prosper, because I think Daniel, upon hearing about the daily sacrifice being taken away, what's Daniel thinking? The daily sacrifice has already been taken away. And he's going, what? When is it going to be restored so that it can be taken away? And I believe this is where the other person, the other angelic or heavenly personage, interjects, because he knows what Daniel is thinking, because what's foremost in Daniel's mind, right? So he interrupts. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said to that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? That's the context of it there. Okay, the transgression of desolation is a reference to the 70 years desolation period, which was coming to an end and was foremost in Daniel's mind. The sanctuary was, of course, the temple, and the host were the people of God, the Hebrew nation. The starting point for this prophecy would be, of course, the very day of this meeting, as no other beginning point is given. Daniel is assured that the trouble shall end, and it shall continue 2300 days and no longer, so many evenings and mornings, because it was the evening and morning sacrifice that they most lamented the loss of, and thought the time passed very slowly while they were deprived of them. And I have those words from, who is it? Not Eliot, but Matthew Henry. So this is what was foremost. And this 2300 days prophecy is days, okay, because it points to the daily sacrifice, an evening and a morning. It interprets it right in the prophecy that these are evening and morning sacrifice, because they had a daily sacrifice every 24 hours or every, you know, solar day on earth. And that's what this is. It's solar days. It says so right in the prophecy, so many mornings and evenings, because it was the evening and the morning sacrifice that Daniel and his fellow nationals lamented the loss of. And also they didn't have their land back. So when was it going to end? That was the question. So, and there are some that make the morning and the evening in this number to stand for two, and then 2300 evenings and as many mornings will make it but 1150 days. But it is less forced to understand them each evening and morning as so many natural days. 2300 days make 6 years and 3 months, and about 18 days. Got to keep that in mind. We, however, do not have an exact day for this meeting, only that it was in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. We get that from verse 1. So we could only look for the restoration of Jewish control of the sanctuary location, so they could rebuild, approximately 6 years later. And guess what happened approximately 6 years later? See, this prophecy isn't for us. This was for Daniel. This was something that peaked in Daniel's mind when he heard that the temple would be desolated once again in the future, in the prophecy that was ongoing from the angel, until the other person, as I said, some believe to be Christ, and that's a good possibility, interjected and said, hey, here's the question Daniel really wants an answer to. And he gets the answer here in the context. We read it. That's the answer. So we could only look for the restoration of the Jewish control of the sanctuary location approximately 6 years later, bringing an end to the 70 years chastisement, after which the sanctuary would be cleansed. And I think my mistake before, when I was looking for the fulfillment, I was looking for the cleansing of the temple. But I've learned differently to read the scripture a little more exactly, because it says, then shall the temple be cleansed, meaning afterward, first they have to get control of the land so that they can build the temple. And it was quite a while afterwards, as we'll see. Okay, so we could only look for the restoration of Jewish control of the sanctuary location. That's all that this prophecy infers that Daniel is going to see and his fellow men in 2300 days. So, to bring an end to the 70 years chastisement and approximately 6 years later, after which would the sanctuary be cleansed, this cleansing being prerequisite to the resumption of the daily sacrifice taking place in a rebuilt or second temple. Daniel found by further research, all you have to do is read further into chapter 9. Daniel found by further research the number of years that would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. See, and there we're talking about the desolations of Jerusalem. That's what the 2300-year prophecy is about. It's not about the future. It's not about some Seventh-day Adventist temple in heaven where Jesus is going to complete the work of salvation or something like that that they made up because of the great disappointment. Okay, this is about the 70 years desolation of Jerusalem. This satisfaction being expressed in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Approximately 1 year later, after what is expressed in Daniel 9, 2, about 538 B.C., Zerubbabel, the leader of the tribe of Judah, was part of the first wave of Jewish captives to return to Jerusalem. The Persian king appointed Zerubbabel as governor of Judah, and right away Zerubbabel began rebuilding the temple with the help of Joshua. See, that right there fulfills the prophecy, the 2300-day prophecy, that Zerubbabel was made governor of Judah, or Judea, okay, where the temple was that they were going to rebuild. And so I put together this chart here. And if you're at this page, I don't know how many of you got to that page. I'll put it in the chat room now. I should have done that for you that might be looking for that. Okay, so there's what I'm looking at. If you scroll down, there's a chart. If you click on the chart, it makes it bigger. Nice, huh? Yeah, especially when you get older and you need reading glasses. Okay, I'm trying to get this whole thing in the little window here. So we have BCE, an approximate timeline for Daniel. And that's all I could do is approximate, because BCE dating is at best approximate. We've already discussed this many times before, that BCE dating and retrograde dating is what it is. It wasn't invented till about 500 AD. By the monk Dionysius Exiguus. Hey, I remembered that. Anyway, so he invented the BCE dating, the BC and BCE dating. So anything that's dated BCE, you know, like here it says 605 BCE, Jerusalem taken by Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel and his three friends taken to Babylon. Their probable ages, they were teenagers, 15 to 17 years old, in the year that Nebuchadnezzar came in and took some of the men captive to service in his, for his service at Babylon. Okay. 602, 3 years later, Daniel and his friends complete their 3 years of training. Nebuchadnezzar has his dream and Daniel explains it. Daniel 2. So Daniel is maybe 19 or 20 years old when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, apparently. And, you know, this is all just probable. The dating is probable. It's not exact, like I said. But it's a timeline. It's the best one I could put together. And I looked at a lot of stuff to come up with these dates. So, and you can do your own study. It's all out there if you want to, if you think you can do better. But like I said, none of this is exact. BCE dating can never be exact. That's why it's folly for people to go, well, Thursday afternoon and on such and such 503 BC, such and such happened. No, you can't do that. It just doesn't work. If you try to get it exact, you're only fooling yourself. And it doesn't, none of it matters anyway. Just it's close. That's all I'm trying to be, is close here. Not trying to fool anybody, and least of all myself. Possible time in Nebuchadnezzar's vision and madness, 566, 549 to 547. Possible beginning of Belshazzar's co-regency in Babylon. We get no exact date for Belshazzar's, but because we come to Daniel's vision in the third year of Belshazzar. But honestly, we can't find any date in history. I haven't been able to. Nobody else has been able to, as far as I know. And like I said, exact dating is very iffy for even those people who believe they have it. Okay. So possible beginning is 549 to 547. Somewhere in there, Belshazzar begins his co-regency in Babylon. 545, 544, Daniel's vision of the ram and goat, the third year of Belshazzar, that's the vision we're talking about now, in which vision is interjected the vision of the 2300 days prophecy. And you have to separate those two visions, otherwise you can get really confused, because one is interjected into another one. It's kind of an interruption, as I should say. So Daniel's vision of the ram and goat, third year of Belshazzar, beginning of the 2300 days, remaining of the 70 years, transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot, Daniel 8. Okay. And then we have 539-38, Belshazzar's feasts. Cyrus, king of Persia, conquers Babylon, reigns until 530. Darius the Mede assumes power in Babylon, likely appointed by Cyrus. Daniel reads Jeremiah and prays and fasts for the Jewish nation, as expressed in Daniel chapter 9. And then, 538, Cyrus decrees the Jews can return to Judea. And this is about six or 7 years later, so we have our approximate fulfillment happening at the approximate time that it should have been fulfilled. And like I said, it's not important for us because this prophecy wasn't for us, but it was fulfilled, and history verifies that it was fulfilled approximately six plus years later. So 537, about 50,000 Jews return, led by Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. Daniel, age about 83, has his prophetic vision about the end times, beginning at chapter 10. And that vision is 10 and 11. Daniel's heavenly vision and conversion with a super conversation with a supernatural being. 10 and 11, that's 536, 535. And then 530, Cyrus reigned until 530. Cambyses reigns. The rebuilding of the temple is halted. Okay. For some reason, Cambyses did not allow the Jews, although they were in the land, and the building had been going on, and perhaps it really never stopped, but he would not allow them to. And then we go 8 years later, Darius I reigns, and the rebuilding is renewed in 520. the temple is completed and dedicated in 515. So that's our history of probable dates, and they're all close in there, 1 or 2 years or 3 years or whatever. Like I said, BCE dating can never be exact, as hard as we try. You know, it's not like we date stuff over the last couple hundred years where we have exact dates using the same calendar. So there it is, the 2300 days. So yes, we could say that approximately 6 years later, the host and the temple were no longer trodden underfoot, but under self-control of the host, being the Jewish nation. And they were working on the temple, and they did get it done about 515. Now, whether with Daniel would have had to been about 105 years old at 515 BCE to see the completion of the temple. Whether he lived that long or not, I don't know. Daniel's death is not expressed to us in the scripture as far as I know. I'm pretty sure he likely saw the 2300 days fulfilled, because apparently he wrote after that, but he didn't note it in his writing, because that would have been after chapter 9, chapter 10, 11, and onward would have been later. So I hope that answers all any questions or about the 2300 days prophecy being anything other than what it explicitly states in the prophecy itself, and that of the 2300 days being nothing but the evening and morning represented by the daily sacrifice of the evening and the morning sacrifice taking place in the temple. 2300 of those regular solar days like we experience today. It's not 2300 years. Some people want to turn, they think it's historicist, and to turn every large number in the Old Testament or in the Bible into years. No, that's not historicist. Historicist looks for a fulfillment in prophecy, something that cannot be excluded by the scripture. And then we say, yeah, that's most likely it. Yeah, we could be pretty sure that that's it, if it's most likely it. So anyway, let's see if we got any no comments in the chat room. I guess everybody must be satisfied with my exposition of the 2300 days prophecy. And to me, that pretty much settles the question. I mean, I don't really need to go over it anymore. I've talked about it before. This is what I thought before. And so this time I dove in as deep as I could, because it's such a small prophecy. It's only expressed in one place, and it's expressed one more time at the end of the chapter. So if we go down here, I have it highlighted in a purple color. And I have the prophecy of the he-goat and the ram here, and also touches on the last beast power, which is the sea beast. And then he gives the interpretation here of that prophecy. See, this is concerning Daniel and the nation Israel, because this is primarily addresses the period reaching up to the time that the Messiah returns and the 70 weeks ends for Israel. And it's a position as a set-apart nation, a national church, comes to its end. And that's the end of the prophecy. And then it just says that the prophecy that was told is true concerning the evening and morning. And that's all it has to say about it. Okay, I'll be back after some messages and some news. Don't go anywhere.
Temptation has taken my first love. struggle with even believing in you. And how can I live? How can I go on when the fire deep within me is gone? Oh, I need you.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Musty Keith. Surging demand, higher prices, and empty store shelves are all highlighting a growing supply chain crisis. William Lajeunesse reports from the Port of Los Angeles.
Hundreds of ships wait to be loaded with cargo off Shanghai. Hundreds more are already docked, anchored, or waiting for weeks to offload containers at ports in Long Beach and Los Angeles. Container traffic is up 30%, but trucking capacity only 8%. So more ships wait longer as trucking companies struggle to find workers. California warehouses are 98% full, according to the real estate firm Cushman Wakefield, and rail yards face gridlock. Turnaround time for a container in February was 6 days. Today in L.A., 16.
A bill to lift the nation's debt ceiling is now headed to the president's desk after House lawmakers voted Tuesday to approve a measure which would keep the U.S. from defaulting on its loans. The bill allows $480 billion to keep the U.S. going through early December. Republican Congresswoman Michelle Fischbach says Democrats have been excluding the GOP from debt ceiling talks.
I'm deeply disappointed that the majority chooses to pursue these bills without including House Republicans in negotiations.
Meanwhile, President Biden is still trying to get his multi-trillion-dollar social spending bill and bipartisan infrastructure bill through Congress. Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado joined Fox News Primetime to criticize Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic legislation.
What about this spending spree? Does Fancy Nancy want the media to sell? Taxpayer dollars paying for the college education of millionaire families to Ivy League colleges, $200 million to Nancy Pelosi's favorite park, the Presidio, amnesty to millions of illegal aliens.
Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva says he will not enforce the county's vaccine mandate in his agency. He joined Tucker Carlson to explain.
They just, you know, send off edicts like Moses coming down from the mountains and everybody's going to snap to attention and make them happen. I have to deal in reality, and that is a very dangerous and nonsensical mandate. I know my employees very well, and I cannot afford to lose 5 to 10% of my employees overnight who will react to someone trying to impose something. But if someone else who is an employee does not believe in that, who am I to impose on them my belief system?
Meanwhile, California Governor Gavin Newsom's mandate to have students as young as 5 vaccinated could spark a mass exodus from public schools in the state. Bob Kellogg has more.
The California governor has ordered all eligible students 12 and older to be vaccinated, those 5 to 11, upon federal approval of an appropriate vaccine. Fox News reports any exemptions have not yet been clarified. Jonathan Keller of the California Family Council says Governor Newsom is usurping parental authority.
That once again, Gavin Newsom is placing himself in between parents and their children. And he is saying, we, the state, know what is best for your children, and we're not going to let you make any choices for unique medical situations, unique religious concerns.
Keller thinks this mandate may be a tipping point for many families who will be seeking different options for their children's education.
That means either by homeschooling their kids, as we saw last year during lockdowns and the restrictions, a huge spike in homeschooling in the state of California and around the nation. Or, sadly, I think you may see another exodus, a mass exodus of parents and kids from California.
Hypocritically, Newsom admits he has not had his own 12-year-old daughter vaccinated for COVID-19. I'm Bob Kellogg.
And now Janice Dean has your Wednesday forecast.
The severe storms that brought large hail, damaging winds, and tornadoes will start to wind down today across the central U.S. Colder air will now settle in behind the system. Winter storm warnings, blizzard warnings, winter weather advisories will remain in effect from the Wasatch to the Rocky Mountains as heavy snow and blowing snow continues. High wind warnings, wind advisories, freeze warnings, and frost advisories are also posted from the Great Basin to the Four Corners in the Rockies. I'm Jana Steen, Fox News.
For American Family News, I'm Musty.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Prophecy Reality. This is a live edition. If you're listening live on First Amendment Radio, you can come on over and join the chat room. To get into the chat room, the PIN number is 1517. It's also written in red at the top of the chat room, so kind of hard to miss, but some people do miss it. Anyway, we're live this morning, and I'm going to jump into where I left off. Talking about the apocalyptic beast powers of Daniel and Revelation and their related symbols. This will be part two. I did part one last week and barely got into it. But we're going to jump into it with both feet this week, and I'm going to pick up where I left off. Let's see if I can find it here somewhere. There it is, right there. Yes. When I left off last week, I had started in number six here, enumerated. Oh, and I guess I should have this down here so it looks the same. What I'm looking at looks the same as what you're seeing on the screen, if you're seeing it. Let's see. Yes. Okay, there it is. Yeah, number six. So I'm going to back up and start number six. We were talking about horns appearing on a beast, one of those related symbols that we're talking about. Number six, horns appear on a beast when there is a notable division of power. We learned this first from the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, Daniel 8:20, and the rough coat. The rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Alexander. Now that being broken, whereas four horns stood up for it. So the one horn, being the first king, Alexander, was broken off, and four horns came up in its place, representing four divisions of that kingdom. The kingdom being represented by the rough goat, or the he-goat, in some other verses there. Now that being broken, four stood up, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, Daniel 8:21 and 22. And another note here is, if someone was writing and he said that the he, speaking of he, using the masculine noun, he, referring to a beast's power. Someone said they were talking about the second beast of Revelation 13, and the first beast of Revelation 13, that because it was referred to as a he, that it had to be a man. Okay. Well, that's not so. That I thought that was a very weak argument, since we have so much here that both the ram, a ram is a he sheep, and we had, because I don't believe there's a, besides a buck for a goat, a he goat and a buck are the same thing. It's a he goat. It is the masculine form. So I noticed something peculiar about all the beast powers. They all appear with the masculine noun being attached to them, he. So when they're spoken of, it's a he. Now, if it's church, or and even apostate church, it's a woman. It's a she. Okay? So that seems to be the rule as we go through the prophecy texts. And that's what we're looking for. How do we understand the text from the scripture itself? And that's what we're looking for. So some of these really weak arguments can be overthrown very easily. So we learned that the ram, which is a he sheep, a male sheep, and these horns appearing on them. So we learn about what horns are. They are a division of a beast power that appears. And of course, if there are no divisions, it would be because I believe in another place, I believe in the previous chapter of Daniel, Greece is depicted as a four-headed beast, saying it has four heads. So we learn that heads can be a division of power too, because then in the next chapter, those four heads are depicted as four horns, explaining that one was broke off. So you see how this works, that heads can be a division of power, and definitely horns are, because the horns are brought forward into the revelation along with the fourth beast. And there is even a mention of these previous beasts, because these previous beasts are also depicted, the ram and the he-goat here are depicted as different creatures in the previous chapter too. So, but they are beasts, beast being an animal of some type. Okay. So now we fast forward to the beast symbols that appear in the Revelation and the New Testament era. Chapter 12 of the Revelation introduces a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns, and something new is introduced here, seven crowns upon his heads. Daniel 7 tells us that it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. And it shall devour the whole earth. And I don't believe that. I think that is literal there. The earth there is not being used in a symbolic sense. And I believe when it says it will devour the whole earth, well, I believe that we see that today, that beast has devoured the whole earth, including North America, South America, all of Asia, the whole earth, basically. Everywhere on earth has been devoured by the beast when it appears in its final form. We'll discuss that when we get to it. So Daniel 7 tells us that it was diverse or different from all of the other beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns, and it shall devour the whole earth. The previous three were depicted as warm-blooded animals, whereas this beast is cold-blooded. It appears as a dragon. That's what we learn in chapter 12. We learn how this beast appears. We're not told in chapter 12. We're just told that it's different than the other ones, and it has ten heads. That's different. Okay. So, but this is a cold-blooded beast. It's not warm-blooded. So there's another difference in this fourth beast, because we learned that it appears as a red dragon in chapter 12 of the Revelation, it being the same beast. The previous three were depicted as warm-blooded, whereas this beast is cold-blooded. It is the only one with multiple heads, and it devours the whole earth. we also notice the introduction of the symbolic crowns, or diadems, seven crowns upon his heads. Chapter 13 again introduces the sea beast having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. So before, in chapter 12, it was introduced with seven crowns upon the seven heads. In chapter 13, this changes. The crowns move to the horns, and instead of crowns being upon the seven heads, it's the name of blasphemy. He also has the attributes of a leopard, bear, and lion, with power from the dragon. In all of these appearances, there is mentioned an equal time frame, though expressed in different terms. A time and times and the dividing of time, Daniel 7:25, 1,203 score days, Revelation 12:6, and it says power was given him to continue 42 months, Revelation 13:5. And notice, upon his horns, 10 crowns. The crowns have moved from the heads to the horns. 7. It seems that the crown placement would refer to a change in the seat of power in this beast. And the primary seat of power? This is the only place that the crowns are mentioned, and this is the only beast that has crowns mentioned on it. So we have very little to go on this crown change. But I can definitely see the crowns being on the seven heads up until the Antichrist appeared for his 1260-year reign. All of the power was in Rome, the seven-hilled city of Rome. And what I can find, it is that the seven heads refer to the seven-hilled city of Rome. We find this theme throughout the Revelation. And I don't believe I've found an expositor yet that disagrees with that, as much as I've looked into it. And I do discuss later on some things that may be problematic and how we overcome those problems. But that comes later when I jump into that certain chapter of the Bible, of the Revelation. So we have these three equal time frames mentioned, expressed in different terms. This, unlike the 2300 days, which are expressed as the evening and morning sacrifice day, explicitly given to us, so should not be interpreted as anything other than what the divine interpretation there gives us in the 2300 days. Here we have the same time, the same beast, with circumstances that take place during that time period, which all overlap, and they all refer to the same amount of time, but being expressed three different ways. There's a clue there that these are not literal days, but years. And plus, we've seen it play out in history, so we have history to verify our interpretation. And that's why I can't apply a long period to some of these other periods that are given in Daniel, like the 1290 days. I also believe that is literal days. And if you've read my books, you'll understand that. I'm not going to jump into that now, because our topic is beast top powers and related symbols from the apocalyptic portions of Daniel and the Revelation, comparing them together to come to our conclusion and a better understanding of the Revelation and prophecy itself, and exactly what we're talking about here, so that we know when we read beast, we know that it's not an individual person. We know that an individual person can represent the beast, much like the President of the United States, or the little horn that's given a mouth at times represents the beast. even though the crowns are on the horns, it still wields those, but those separate horn powers have to choose to capitulate, and a lot of times they were opposed to and resisted the little horn power. But the little horn power did wield a lot of power for 1260 years, so much so that he overcame the saints in that time period. Okay, number seven. It seems that the crown placement would refer to a change in the seat of power in this beast. History itself and alone will reveal exactly what era the crown placement change represents. However, the text would seem to indicate that the crowns appear first on the heads, then move to the horns. Also, the crowns only being introduced in the Revelation would indicate the New Testament era as the time of this change. Also note that though the crowns have removed from the heads to the heads are then identified by the name of blasphemy being upon them. Foundational to understanding the apocalyptic beast powers of the Revelation begins with an exposition of Daniel chapter 2 and the dream image of King Nebuchadnezzar with the interpretation received by Daniel. We will follow this with an exposition of Daniel's chapter 7 and 8. We will continue thereafter with an exposition of Revelation chapters 12 through 19, wherein the beast powers are concerned. And that's my outline for the rest of the book, this being my introductory chapter. Okay. The beast symbol. The word beast is used as an apocalyptic symbol 6 times in Daniel chapter 7. Then found 37 times in the Revelation chapters 11 through 20. This is a very important symbol to understanding the Revelation. If you're confused about what a beast is, you might as well just forget reading the book of Revelation, because you will not understand it. If you think the beast can be an individual, as many people, they say the Antichrist beast, things like that, trying to make the Antichrist a beast. But the Antichrist is not an apocalyptic beast by being represented by the use of the beast symbol in the scriptures. The Antichrist, going off script here a little bit, is the man of sin, is St. Paul's man of sin, the Antichrist, when used with the definite article the before it, it would refer to the man of sin or the false prophet. And that's another common error, that people ascribe the false prophet as being one of the beast powers of Revelation. But we'll address that later too. So the beast symbol is a very important symbol to understanding the Revelation. Daniel 7 describes 4 great beasts come up from the sea with different characteristics, the fourth of which had 10 horns. We have determined to be the same power that is described severally in the Revelation, also as having 10 horns. Whereas John has not interpreted this symbol to us in the text, Daniel explicitly defines the symbol for us. Daniel 7:23, "Thus," he said, "the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth." So there we have it. Explicitly, divine interpretation of the symbol. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. So a beast is what? It's a kingdom upon the earth. It's a, we call it a beast power. It is a ruling power in the earth, whether it has a singular king over it, or an emperor, or however it may be ruled. It is a notable power in the earth would be referred to as a beast. And in this case, we have three of them name specifically, and the fourth one can be none other than the Roman Empire. So now we know, when we see the word beast being used symbolically, that we are talking about a prominent kingdom or ruling power in the earth. It would be a mistake to apply the term to a singular individual when the term is used apocalyptically. Also ask, in what way was the fourth beast diverse? The text does not tell us, but we later learn that it had seven heads. That's one of the ways it was diverse. And also we learn that it was cold-blooded. It was a red dragon rather than a warm, depicted as a warm-blooded animal. And it had ten horns. That's how it was different from all the other beasts. Another way that it was different is that it devours the whole earth. No other beast did that. Alexander's kingdom came close, but nope, the only the one that followed has finally, in our day, though most people don't recognize the, because of the phase that it is in, is being expressed as was and is not, yet is. And we'll get there when we get there. Okay, the scripture explicitly names four of the beast powers thus. Daniel 7 opens in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, with the revelation of four beast powers being introduced: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Chapter 8 opens in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. In this chapter, the symbol beast is not explicitly used, but two of the kingdoms explicitly named are rather described as different beasts, or animals if you prefer. And we discussed the ram, which thou sawest having two horns, as the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat, or the male goat, is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. For confirmation of our thesis here, we also refer to Daniel chapter 2, which outlines the same four dominating powers as those referenced as the beasts of Daniel 7 and 8, which reign until Christ sets up his kingdom, however exposed as successive parts of the same image instead, which is also followed by an even more succinct divine interpretation in the text. And this divine interpretation, Daniel 2:38-45, thou, referring to Babylon, or the king of Babylon, art this head of gold, and after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass. Remember, we're discovering beast powers. We want to be absolutely sure that what we're talking about when we say beast apocalyptically, as a symbol used apocalyptically, that these are referring to kingdoms. Okay? And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdues all things. Therefore, they're again referring to subdue all the earth. And as iron it breaketh all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it a strength of the iron. And here we see the ten horns in the ten toes synchronizing these prophecies, these different prophecies together between Daniel and the Revelation. And part of iron, part of clay, so the king shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves together with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. And see, this is one of the most sure divine interpretations that we do get in the scripture. Okay, when we get back, we're going to jump into talking about the head symbol upon the beast. You're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in a few minutes.
We're in a battle weary nation, full of wounded and weary souls. They've lost their desire to win the fight. They're just praying it won't be long. With their weakened hearts on a holy cause, given everything they owe, but all that's left of the...
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded. It has been borrowed. It has been purchased. It has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The Book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. I don't know how it happened, but somehow I jumped to the wrong chapter in my exposition here. And I hope you all found it very interesting. But I started out in the right place, but somehow got to the last chapter, the conclusion of the matter. And as you can see, there's a lot of conclusions there. And it might be because I was supposed to start with Daniel chapter 2, but somehow I got to the wrong chapter and in the middle of the wrong chapter. But anyway, should I pick up where I left off? I guess I should, because I can always jump back. Because what I'm doing in this book is I start out with my method of interpretation, which you heard in the last one, the first part of this. Anyway, then I do an exposition on chapter 2 of Daniel, chapter 7 of Daniel, chapter 8 of Daniel, and then I jump into the Revelation chapter 12, chapter 13, and that's where I left off in chapter 13, but there's much more to come having to do with the beast powers up through chapter 19 of the Revelation. And it's quite eye-opening what I've been discovering. It's really brought forward my exposition and knowledge of Scripture quite a bit, and ferreting out a lot of details that were kind of just floating out on the periphery there that seemed to be like loose ends. And so this is, because when I wrote my last book, I did this one here, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, which still stands. And I thought, okay, after that I did my exposition of the Revelation, which has the same type of cover. And now I'm doing, and I just thought, man, I'm tired of writing about prophecy. Yeah, forgive me, I'm only human. I'd like to do something that, you know, is more broadly interesting to people than prophecy. Because you got to admit that this prophecy is pretty niche, and most people even in Christianity and evangelicalism, whatever brand of Christianity if you have today, are not even interested in prophecy, or they have bought into dispensationalism, and so that's why I wrote this book as an apology for. The subtitle, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century, so that people could see there's something out there that makes sense. And anyway, it seems that, the Father wants me to do this other book that I'm doing now, and I'm really getting into it. I'm having a lot of fun doing it now that I'm really digging in and uncovering a lot more, and then hoping after this that I could write on something else. How much can I write on prophecy? I might have to take everything I've written together and put it into one volume, I'm thinking, after I do this, an exposition on Daniel and this one on, I'm not sure, yeah, because I'm doing an exposition on all the apocalyptic chapters of Daniel, but I'm thinking I might have to do a separate on Daniel. And then I might just have to go through and do an exposition on every book of the Bible. Who knows? It's up to the Lord what he wants me to do, because I'm just his humble servant. And if I'm relegated to, a few people reading my work or watching my videos or paying attention to my articles, then I praise God for that. It's probably more, it probably is more than most people get. As far as being able to serve God and to influence people. And then that influence, because it's all his work, will go wherever he wants it. As the saying goes, obedience is mine, the results are his. So you're getting some of the conclusion of the matter now, because somehow I jumped to there. And that's what you've been hearing is the conclusion. All the details, we'll get into those as we tear apart those chapters and do an in-depth exposition. And you'll be amazed, because I'm amazed at what I'm finding, what the revelation that I'm receiving from God's Word, and how much more there is to dig out. And should we be surprised? After all, this is the Word of God, so we should not be surprised at all. Anyway, we're going to speak on the head symbol upon a beast. Where do the four heads of Daniel 7:6 of the 7-6 leopard fit into our apocalyptic chronology? First, we must ask, does the symbolic use of head in Daniel 7:6 have the same meaning as the usage in the Revelation? Someone asked me this question, so I had to address it. It is obvious that more than one head or horn represents a division of power within a beast. And I believe I did touch on this a little bit earlier. The Daniel 7:6 beast is identified as Greece when recapitulated in chapter 8, where in its final form it had a fourfold division represented by four horns after its single horn is broken off of its single head. Therefore, the four horns of chapter 7 merely represent the same divisions as do the Therefore, the four heads of chapter 7, let me restate that correctly. Excuse me. Therefore, the four heads of chapter 7 merely represent the same division as do the horns in chapter 8. These heads and horns should not be extended to the divisions expressed in the Revelation, as they would only create irreconcilable combinations in the different contexts. To wit, and I've seen someone do this, that's why I had to address it. If Rome is number 6, speaking of heads, is contemporary with John, or beast powers, as 5 have fallen, and the leopard beast representing Greece had 4 heads, Rome following would be 5. If you add Babylon and Medo-Persia, Rome would be 7. The only logical conclusion is that the heads of Daniel 7:6 do not represent the same divisions as those of Revelation 17. And if you find that confusing, yes, that's the point. We don't want to confuse the heads of Daniel 7 with any of the heads of the Revelation. Or of Daniel 8. Because it's the same beast being expressed two different ways in both of those chapters, and that same beast power, being Greece, is named in both. That's how we know that it's the same beast being expressed two different ways in those two chapters. So we move to the horn symbol upon a beast. And this being my conclusion, it will change. I will refine this because I've discovered a lot more that I can put into it as I've been going verse by verse through all of these chapters, chapter 2, 7, and 8 of Daniel, and 12, 13 through 19 of the Revelation. There's quite a bit more to discover, but it's going to be the done work on the beast, the apocalyptic symbol beast and its related symbols. This will be the go-to text for beast powers, because I don't think anybody's done it like this in depth before. Not even E.B. Eliot. Like I've read his the whole Horror Apocalypticae more than twice, so I know that. Okay, so Daniel 8:20 also gives us some insight into the horn symbol as an attribute when they appear on a beast power. We notice that the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, indicate an obvious division of power within a beast. In verse 21, and the rough goat which is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, indicates the singular power of Alexander the Great when Greece conquered and assimilated the two sea beast powers, Babylon and Medo-Persia, that fell before it. In the next verse, now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power, referring to the singular horn, Alexander the Great, but not in his power. Indicates that when Alexander suddenly died, Greece was divided between his four generals. This is the famous and well-known history that followed the prophecy. We notice that the fourth sea beast of Daniel 7, the dragon of Revelation 12, and the sea beast of Revelation 13 all have 10 horns. By all of the commonalities present, it is reliably held that these are all one and the same beast power, as it appears at different intervals in history. The seven heads being omitted from the Daniel description may be an indicator of this thesis, or, depending on the meaning attached to the apocalyptic heads, it may be nothing other than a simple omission. And I write more on this later, but I believe that I'm going to write on it earlier when I do go through those chapters. Crown symbol upon a beast. And you can see that, yeah, a lot of this is going to be repetitious. Revelation 12:3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. At the time of the fall of pagan Rome, here represented by the 10-horned beast appearing as a red dragon, was celebrated in Roman history when Christianity was elevated to the state religion by the coinage impressed with the state standard over the dragon by Constantine, the 10 horns representing the division of the kingdom upon the invasion of the barbarous nations from the north. We have the testimony of Irenaeus from the 2nd century that this was the understanding of the prophecy even before it happened. Quote, I have observed on the apostle's statement that the Thessalonian Christians knew what the hindrance was that prevented the development of this man of sin. And we have the consenting testimony of the early fathers from Irenaeus, the disciple of the disciple of St. John, down to Chrysostom and Jerome, to the effect that it was understood to be the imperial ruling power residing at Rome. That was the hindrance to the revealing of the man of sin. So they understood that the nation would be divided and the imperial power would fall when it was divided into 10, and that the Antichrist would rise to power. They understood that before it happened because John was there on the ground, and who was it? Irenaeus was the disciple of the disciple of Christ, okay? So a pretty fairly direct line there. John's teaching should carry on from that point through his disciples. Okay. The crowns being upon the heads of the beast, rather on the horn divisions, indicates that power is centralized under the primary dominance of Rome until the fall of the imperial power of the pagan era, which gave way to the 1260 years of the papal man of sin dominancy over the 10 divisions of the horns. This would concur with the little horn of Daniel, where 3 of the 10 horns were subdued, also leaving the remaining horns vested in the little horn power. So whatever papal Rome had to do, it had to do in conjunction. It had to persuade those horn powers to act for it, and we know that it did that. We have history that shows us that's how it happened. So the crowns being on the horns, but the little horn rising up and speaking great things and blasphemies, and by those great things that he spoke, and the blasphemy, and his great apostasy that he wielded, he ruled over those 10 crowned horns, subduing 3 of them and ruling the others for the remainder, for the most part, of that 1260 years that he oppressed the church, the true church of God, and overcame the saints. Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. following with the 1260-year over papal reign of Western Europe, the crowns remain on the several divisions represented by the ten horns. But papal Rome retains its anti-Christian status and religious power represented by, upon his heads, the name of blasphemy and as the whore that rides the beast. This is the present condition of Western Europe in apocalyptic terms, so that the dragon sea beast can assume its final revealed status before the consummation, which requires its affiliation with the two-horned earth beast and the image it creates as outlined in chapter 13. And that's all I have, which will turn into more as I complete this work. But you can see what I'm getting into here. Chapter 2, somehow I skipped ahead. Oh, I did. See, that's where I left off, the 2300 days. Oh, the chronology of the book of Daniel that I put in that 2300 days I developed for this book, because I was jumping into these three chapters of Daniel, chapter 2, 7, and 8. Those having to do mainly with the beast powers. So that's part of the new book I'm writing. And it came in real handy for the 2300 days, settling that issue of the 2300 days prophecy. Remember, it is explicitly interpreted in the text as an evening and a morning day. So how can anyone turn it into yours and ignore what is explicitly expressed in the text itself? That's problematic, according to my way of thinking. Next time when we come back, we will jump into Daniel chapter 2, which is the second chapter of my book, after the first one being Method of Interpretation, which you heard. And then somehow I jumped to the last chapter and gave you the my conclusion of the matter as it stands so far. That's going to be much expanded by the time I get to it, by the time I get through all of these other chapters of the book, of these books of the containing the apocalyptic symbols, being the beast and its related symbols. So I appreciate all your prayers for that work I'm doing, and that I can get through that and continue to serve God for until I'm 105, like Daniel would have to have been when he finally saw the daily sacrifice restored in the temple. Yeah, he would have had to have been about 105. And for me to see Jesus return, if it's about sometime after 2050, 2055, somewhere in there, I'm going to have to be 100 plus years old to see that. I don't know if I'll see it or not, but I could, you know, I would like to. If I have a choice, I would like to live that long and see him when he comes and experience the, you know, be part of that small crowd from all of history that are there and are translated and changed the moment in the twinkling of an eye. But that's not really important, because most of the saints, all of the past saints who have already gone on, they didn't get that, and everyone who dies between now and then, which may include me and it may not, I won't have that singular experience. And so we can't expect that. And God hasn't said, you'll get it. I mean, I prayed about it, said I'd like to. But then I would prefer, you know, to lay down my life for Christ than dying an old man in my bed. So if I can't live until he comes, well, then perhaps I can lay down my life for the gospel and for the work of his kingdom between now and then. And with the way the world's going, with the Mark of the Beast Inquisitions starting up, say, around sometime around 2030 or thereafter, of course, we resist and evade as much as we can until that we get caught. But, you know, these things have happened in history, and history. Anything that has happened anywhere else on the planet in history can happen here or anywhere again. Because history, they say, well, it repeats itself, but it may or may not repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes all the time. And the Antichrist, when he becomes drunk with power, which he will become drunk with power, because otherwise, if he didn't become drunk with power and become careless, how would it be that the ten horns would turn on the seat of the beast, being, you know, the seat of the anti-Christian power, the Antichrist and his shadow government, and destroy it with fire, completely destroy it, as is expressed in the later chapters of the Revelation there before Christ returns. Be completely destroyed with fire by the ten horns when they turn on her. So she must get careless again, like she did in the past, burning books and people and committing genocide. Genocide is the genocide that we're experiencing today. This is nothing new. Believe me, the Antichrist is in a shadow government would like to step it up to remove most of the people on earth right now. That's why she gives power through her money power, because she controls all the money on the earth, Antichrist and her shadow government. She does. That's why we don't have real money anywhere on the planet anymore. This is all going to what the scripture shows us at the end in our supplemental chapter there of chapter 13, that how it ends with everyone, the whole earth. And we know that this beast devours the whole earth. So everyone on the whole earth being required to have a mark indicating that they are subjugated to the beast, its image, or the Antichrist himself somehow, to be allowed to buy or sell or trade in the Antichrist-controlled monetary system. How we're moving there fast. There's nothing more important, you know, that we are living in God's kingdom. As I name my broadcast, Cross the Border, it's a call. It's a gospel call that you cross the border into his kingdom. And Jesus told us how to cross the border. Jesus began to preach, and he began to say, yeah, I believe I had that open somewhere here. Oops. Okay, I put it in the chat room even earlier. Oh, there it is. Romans. No, that's not it. Oh, Matthew. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's still at hand today. It's that close to you. Well, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes.